was a period a week ago where I was positive it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then I was just pessimistic for probably the last 6-7 days. And yesterday, when we had that conversation with Rick George from CU and kind of getting some of the background, and he and I talk later in the day, I was more optimistic. As I stand here right now, I think we will have football in some regard this fall. Now, what that looks like at this point, I'm not exactly sure, but I'm feeling relatively optimistic right now. If you called me back and we did the interview tomorrow, I might have a different opinion, though.
And I'll check with him. That's right. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Our guest yesterday on the Sports Tickets, and Mark said some really interesting things. Of course, he's the voice of the Buffaloes, and that's part of the Pac-12. Pac-12 and the Big Ten have decided not to have any non-conference college football games, so things will start a little bit later than normal. And one of the problems, of course, with not having football is there's less opportunities for others. As Mark explains, football is the lifeline for all other sports in college.
Generally speaking, in most college athletic department programs, there are two that finish every year financially in the black.
Mm-hmm.
Men's basketball and football. Virtually every other one is a losing money proposition, okay? And the driving force, and a lot of schools, by the way, for men's basketball will finish, $2 to $5 million in the black. But when you're talking about an operating cost of $40 to $70 or $100 million, it's, yeah, that's not a huge amount of money. So that means that, as you pointed out, virtually all the money to operate college athletics comes from football. It is the financial engine for everything. If you're a fan of men's and women's golf or men's and women's tennis or wrestling or baseball or softball or lacrosse or whatever else you like in college athletics, you need to send a thank you card to the athletic director for his football program, because that's what drives everything in college athletics. And so when we're just kind of haphazardly saying, well, we just need to cancel this college football season. And so that's why this thing becomes, very, very difficult. I think a tough nut to crack.
And if you only have the Power Five, which could be the only ones that end up playing football this fall, less opportunities for others, obviously. And when you talk about football being the lifeline of other athletic programs, that means that sports have already been cut at some universities, going to be cut in the future at others, means less opportunities for student athletes.
I'd be hard-pressed to believe that if there is college football, it's not far beyond just the Power Five conferences that do it, because you're right, there's going to be a financial aspect to this. So our lower-level leagues, and certainly, drifting down to Division II and Division III, they're just not financially going to be able to do that. And so I think ultimately you're going to see those cancellations taking place at some point in time. If we do cancel college football, I do think there's a possibility you could see the number of college programs, cut in half or lose a third of them, just because of the finances of it, when it's all said and done. And then think about the impact that's going to have. And, one of the things about this COVID issue is we talk about the direct death, which was certainly tragic, obviously, when people die of anything. But then there is the indirect effects of this thing. When it's all said and done, if this is the worst-case scenario, Wade, we're going to be talking about an entirely changed college athletics landscape where I think the opportunities for people are going to be diminished enormously, because you're going to see a lot of programs cutting sports. I already saw what Stanford did. UConn's done the same thing. It's on the table for every athletic department. Division II programs, I think, are going to get hit because the trickle-down is going to affect them. You're going to lose a lot of opportunity in college athletics for a lot of people across a lot of sports, because of what potentially could happen here.
Mark Johnson, voice of Colorado Buffaloes. We welcome those listening on Z96.3 Lake. I have to get used to flipping that switch to simulcast. Haven't had to do that for years, but I got it yesterday. But the day before, I missed it, and today I was a little bit late on it. We'll eventually figure it out. We're creatures of habit. But welcome to Sports Ticket, Wade and Dusty with you. Mark Johnson talking about football, the force that drives athletics, less opportunities for student-athletes if there is no football, or if it's just the Power Five that ends up playing football this fall, and on whether there will be college football this year. And he says right now he thinks there will be, but check back with him the next day, which would be today, because we had him on yesterday. If you missed that whole interview with Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, it is posted our podcast page, Sports Ticket, on KDCountry94.com. And that's the other thing that Mark and I talked about, too, yesterday was, what are the chances they would go to spring football? And he accurately pointed out, Urban Meyer has mentioned this, the great coach from Ohio State, Florida, and Utah, that, okay, so you moved college football to the spring, and Dusty and I have already talked about the problems with that in regards to the time period of the NFL draft and combine and everything else. Some of the star players will say, listen, I'm not going to play in the spring because I got to get ready for the draft, the studs, the stars. And you still have enough players to play football and make some money for the universities and so forth and so on. But as Urban Meyer pointed out, I said, so you're going to go ahead and start the 2021 season in September, late August?
Yeah.
Because now you're going to play. Now how many games are you going to play in a span of 9 months? That's probably too much on the body. So that's an interesting point as well. I truly believe that there's going to have to be college football this fall or they're going to have to punt it to next fall. That's what I believe. I don't think it works for the Power Five to play football in the spring. Maybe we'll be proven wrong. Maybe the NFL will work with college football. I don't see them changing their timeline too much. As we pointed out, college football would be moved for the Power Five conferences to, say, 1st of March, middle of March. That'll take you to the end of April for sure, if not into May. And the NFL draft is scheduled for April 29th through March, or excuse me, April 29th through May 1st. And so I don't know if the NFL would back things up a month. And even if they did, still not a lot of time for athletes to compete in college football to get ready, broken down, worn down, whatever it might be, suffering through some nagging injuries to then get ready for NFL combine and a draft. So I think that's a major sticking point for college football, for the Power Fives to try to move it to the spring. I truly believe that it's got to be this fall. It could be a condensed schedule. It could be the season, you know, has a week off here and there to try to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Who knows what happens? But college football, if they're going to have anything, it's going to have to be this fall or late fall, you know, into, as we know, basically goes into the winter because you don't have your national championship game until early January. I don't know how they're going to work that. If they're going to try to condense it and get it all done before Christmas, maybe they'll change the timeline there too. But I just don't see it happening in the spring.
It's not the way you want it to happen. Like, you know, one thing, there's always spring football for all these universities anyway,
right.
But it doesn't span that long.
Right.
So if you wanted to do it in a situation where you wanted to do it in your calendar for spring and still be able to play, just to get something in to be able then to move on with your 2021 season on time, you're going to have to cut down the season if you want to do it like that. There's no way you're going to be able to play even all your conference games, I feel like, if you wanted to do it in that regard and then still be able to play the 2021 season on time. That's, you know, we didn't talk about that, but that's always been in the back of my mind with that too, with all these sports.
Well, it's the NBA's talked about it. If we're going later, then we're probably going to start not till Christmas next season.
And it's like, when do you get back on the right schedule?
Right.
At what point? Like, how many years down the road? Is it just one season has to be moved back and then you get back on the right schedule?
Yeah.
Is it two seasons? And then you can finally say, hey, we're back to where we were. That's the logistics of all that for me.
Yeah.
Time-wise, as long as these seasons are,
right,
just doesn't add up a lot of times.
No, I agree with you. So we'll continue to follow the story with college football because it does fund 80% of athletic programs, if not more. And as Mark said, it's the lifeline for not only the athletic department and the different sports, but it's a pretty big feather in the cap for the universities themselves. So it's a lot of money on the line if they don't play football this year for any level for the most part, but even more so for the Power Fives. You know, Ivy League actually loses money on football, so it's not like they're having a major problem moving it to the spring and whatever. But Power Five, a lot of money.
JUCO's, it's not a huge money maker.
No,
you know.
That's why those have already chosen to go spring, I believe, is one of the big reasons why they do that. If they're in the same boat as the Power Five, they would not be moving it.
No.
Baseball last night, Dusty will fill you in. I can tell you that our baseball team, the Beloit Blue, we lost last night to Clay Center 13-5. So our season comes to an end. It wasn't as successful as we had hoped, but at the same time, we had some kids. I think every kid made improvements in becoming a better player. We just have to learn how to be more consistent. We'll play three or four great innings or really good innings, and then we'll have that one inning where we have some issues here and there. And kind of a little bit of that last night, although Clay Center hit the ball pretty well off our pitching staff too. But I got to thinking last night, and I've been thinking this for a while, at least we got to play baseball this summer, regardless of what our record was. And we didn't make state. We would like to have made state, obviously. But we didn't. We at least got to play baseball because who knows? That might be the last team sport those kids that I help coach have until March. I mean, it's possible.
Yeah.
I hope not. But it's possible.
Yes.
So I hope they enjoy themselves at least somewhat. I mean, I know as coaches, we get on them from time to time, and that's part of it. You got to get on kids sometimes when they're not focused or not doing the little things, and then sometimes you got to, you know, pull back a little bit. And so it's always a balance as a coach, and the same thing as a teacher, you know, in a classroom, things like that. And every personality is a little bit different to handle. But we got a good group of kids that really enjoy coaching them. And, yes, we'd like more success and more W's. But at the end of the day, as I've said before, nobody 10 years from now on that team is going to remember what their record was in K-18.
Yeah.
I don't think I remember right now. They can't even remember what their record was in Pee Wee just a few years ago.
Yeah.
Now, will they remember Macon State? Probably. Will they remember a particular moment? Yeah, but it might have nothing to do with on the field. It might be in the dugout. It might be goofing around at practice. Who knows what it might be. So, you know, there's more to sports than winning. Winning is important. Don't get me wrong. You have more fun with the more success you have. But there's a lot of things to be learned in life. And I was telling my oldest son this last night. I said, sports, you know, a lot of people get caught up. And I said, adults, including me sometimes, get all caught up in winning instead of losing. And we get caught up, and that's how we are measured. The important part is, are we getting better? And if we're getting better, and also, I said, you know, one thing about sports, I said, I know it sucks to lose. But one thing that you learn through losing is that you have to fight through adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody's going to win a state championship in every sport. There's only one team at the end of the year.
Yes.
That's just how it works. Everybody else ends the season pretty much with a loss. So there's going to be disappointment. You got to deal with adversity, disappointment. That's what life is going to be, and that's what sports helps prepare you for. So that's why I'm a big proponent of sports. But at the same time, has my world come to a crashing halt because we haven't had sports? No. Still live your life.
Yeah.
But would we rather have it? Yes. Okay, so we lose to Clay Center last night. Clay Center moves on. Wakanda had a tough way to lose in their season last night.
Yeah, it's a tough one run loss to Washington, 7-6.
So that run came in the seventh inning, I was told.
Yeah, and Washington will now move on to play Clay Center now. So that's a semifinal matchup coming up later this week. So good season for Wakanda, it sounded like, but they fall just short there last night by a run, 7-6. First round matchups continue tonight. Clifton's the East number 2 seed against West 3 Beloit Red at 5:30 here tonight. And then approximately 7:45 after that first game, it'll be the West 1 seed Smith Center against the East 4 Concordia CNB. So those are the other two first-round matchups here this evening. And
we'll see if they play with the rain, 3 inches of rain in Beloit.
Yeah.
We'll see if the field dries out in time tonight. I don't know if it will or not. I would almost guess it might not, but I don't know for sure. We'll leave that to Kevin and them to figure out.
That's
why they get paid the big bucks for that stuff. Kevin hears that, he'll be laughing. Okay, we got Pee Wee baseball.
Yeah, Pee Wee's all coming back up tomorrow night, and I don't have that all right in front of me. But
I know the Beloit Hornets play the Beloit Royals, so one team's going to knock out the other.
Yeah, and those games are all tomorrow night. District 1's at Concordia, which is where the Beloit Hornets and Beloit Royals are playing, and then District 2's up at Smith Center. I know one of the Smith Center teams is playing Osborne tomorrow night, and again, they'll get them rolling tomorrow night with district tournaments 1 and 2 at Beloit and Smith Center, or at Concordia and Smith Center, excuse me, and those are the tournaments where we have our local teams playing at District 3 and 4 going on as well, and they'll gather for a state tournament next week in Concordia.
So. Yeah, District 2, Smith Center 1, so you'll take on Osborne. And that'll be at 6:30 tomorrow night in Smith Center, and 8 o'clock will be Wakanda, the 3 seed against the other Smith Center team, the Chiefs. And Beloit Hornets against Beloit Royals, 6:30 tomorrow night up in Concordia. Concordia Chevy Buick against Pike Valley, the late game tomorrow night up in Concordia. That's all posted, as Dusty said, ncksports.com. All right, the big news out of Kansas City yesterday. Salvi Perez is back on the field for the Royals. That's pretty cool. That's good to know. But that's not the big news. The big news is the Chiefs have handed out another big bag of cash. The Chiefs, it broke yesterday. The Chiefs get the deal done before the deadline. They had till 3 o'clock today, but they got it done yesterday with Chris Jones, their 25-year-old defensive tackle. Four-year deal worth $85 million. It is actually a four-year deal worth $80 million, $5 million in incentives. There's no guarantee he's going to hit the incentives. So sometimes how these things are reported, even here, are misleading. It is a four-year contract worth $80 plus $5 million in incentives. So the max value is $85 million. The deal includes $60 million in total guarantees upon signing. Jones, had he not signed with the Chiefs or worked out a deal, would have played under the franchise tag, or so we think. Maybe he would have held out. $16.1 million. So the Chiefs basically take on about $4 million more in regards to the salary this year and next year. And so the Chiefs, they pick up Chris Jones for 4 years. And we were talking about this the other day. length of contract, and we talked about 4 years would make sense. And I mentioned 4 years, $80 million. And there we go. 4 years, $80 million. I thought $20 million is the minimum. And that's, he's got to get $20 million a year, and he did. $37 million is due at signing for Chris Jones. $60 million is guaranteed for injury. And it is 4 years, $80 million with $5 million incentives that could make it as much as $85 million. So the Chiefs have, they've taken care of their own. Let's just put it that way. They've been able to re-sign Mahomes. And, of course, now Chris Jones, who's now the second highest paid D tackle in the league behind Aaron Donald, which to me Aaron Donald's the better player anyway, so I think it's fair. He's just ahead of DeForest Buckner, signed with the Colts. And that's another gigantic deal on the Chiefs' books, because Frank Clark on the books for $20 million a year. And then Mahomes' big, massive new 10-year extension, which is really going to kick in 2 years from now. And that was the whole thinking behind what the Chiefs are doing with Mahomes was, hey, we've got to know the numbers, like we talked about and speculated a week or two ago on this very show, that the Chiefs are going to work out a deal with Mahomes. So once they work that out, they'll have the parameters as what they can do with Chris Jones. And the contract with Mahomes is, it really coincides with what the Chiefs are able to do with Chris Jones over the next 2 years, the first 2 years of this four-year new deal. Think about what the Chiefs have done this offseason. They've signed Patrick Mahomes to a 10-year extension up on top of the 2 years left on his rookie deal. So he's going to be in Kansas City for 12 more years. He's locked up. Chris Jones, by the way, Mahomes 24. Chris Jones 25, four-year contract. He's locked in for the considerable future. 20 of the 22 Super Bowl starters are back for the Chiefs. The entire coaching staff is back. Didn't lose anybody on the staff. 5 of their top 6 rushers are back. 8 of their top 9 receivers. 6 of their top 7 offensive linemen. And, oh, yeah, they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who seems to be maybe the perfect fit for Andy Reid's system in the backfield. So you think about what the Chiefs have done this offseason. It is pretty impressive. And you also have to look at Chris Jones and Frank Clark seem to be gelling there late in the season last year. Jones has, I think, 33 sacks over the last 3 years, if I remember correctly. Had that season a couple years ago where he had a sack in, what was it, 11 straight games or something like that?
I think
like
it was 11, yeah.
Yeah, which is pretty impressive as a defensive tackle. And that'll prevent teams from doubling Clark on the edge by having Jones. The winners and losers of this deal, well, clearly, obviously, Chris Jones. The Chiefs, they're a winner because that's going to help, as we just said, preventing double teams on Frank Clark less likely. And, of course, if Clark is healthy all year long, because he wasn't healthy the first 8 or 9 games last year. He played through the pinched nerve and everything. So Frank Clark is a beneficiary of this. Mahomes, of course, is a beneficiary of this thing because that helps the defense, that helps the team, and makes things a little bit easier for Patrick Mahomes. And Brett Veach, man, he's worked everything out. These Chiefs people behind the scenes have got these numbers all worked out as to how they're going to move this money around and so forth. You know, losers of this deal would be guys like Alex Okafor, Sammy Watkins, who's on a 1-year deal, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, LDT. I've told you about how he's overpaid. He's taken a pay cut already. Damian Wilson. Because you got so much money wrapped up in the bigger players, you're not going to be able to keep some of these other guys that are in the middle of the pack. The other thing is the Chiefs probably aren't going to be that active in free agency because of these big contracts. And then corner requires money usually, and it looks like the Chiefs have decided, listen, we're going to go with free agent cornerback contracts. We're going to maybe make some shrewd trades like they did for Charvarius Ward to get him from the Cowboys, and they're going to draft corners because the Chiefs don't have a lot of money. They got $8 million right now in cap space, supposedly, which is amazing because they had $177 before they made all these deals, $177. That just goes to show you how you can move the books around, adjust contracts for various guys if they're willing to do that, so forth and so on. So things, as I say with the cap, it can be manipulated, and I think everybody does that in pretty good job. They got cap strategy guys that actually get paid to just do that. Study the cap. How do we work around it? How do we make this work for this player, so forth and so on. You have to have a vision. The Chiefs have had a vision for a while. Brett Veach mentioned that last week when they agreed on extension of Mahomes, that they knew in 2018, 2 years ago, that, hey, you know, we're going to have to work out a deal with him. And so they had set up some of the contracts with that in the back of their mind that, hey, Mahomes is going to get the extension. Of course, the price kept going up because he kept playing so well. And then, of course, winning a Super Bowl helps your stock, and you're only 24. So the Chiefs basically are saying, we're going to spend the money on our defensive pass rusher in Frank Clark. We're going to spend our money on Chris Jones. We spend money on a safety in Tyrann Mathieu. And we spent our money, of course, on our quarterback. They spent money on Tyreek Hill. They spent money, of course, on Kelce, who may get a big deal next offseason, which I don't know if that's a wise decision because he's the oldest of this whole group at 30, but everybody else is under 30, and some guys, most of them are in their 25, 26, 27 years of age. So the Chiefs got the core ready to go, and I think Chiefs fans are like, well, hey, this is easy. We're going to win 3 or 4 Super Bowls. It'd be interesting to see, you know, Mahomes is under contract through the age of 35, almost 36. So 12 more seasons of Mahomes if he stays healthy. And as an article was out there, and I agree with this article by Steven Ruiz of USA Today, says the Chiefs have room for error so they can make a huge signing like Chris Jones. If people listen to this show on a regular basis, you know that I wasn't a big proponent of signing Chris Jones to a big deal. Now, 4 years, I feel a little bit better about 4 because I was worried at one point it'd be 5 or 6. So I'm a little bit better with 4, and they didn't have to pay him $23, $25 million. I'm okay with that. I still worry about having too many big contracts on the books. I look at the Rams. Now, granted, the one big difference between the Rams, they don't have Mahomes. They paid Goff a ton of money, and he isn't half the quarterback Mahomes is, in my opinion. So if there's ever a team, an organization that can roll the dice on signing Chris Jones to 4 years, $85 million, it is the Chiefs. And why do they have room for error? Because of number 15, Patrick Mahomes, and Andy Reid. And now you have add a new toy to the chest in Helaire as a running back in the first round. And the Chiefs have room to, if Chris Jones doesn't play great, that they could still be right there as a Super Bowl contender. Which is why I argued, without Chris Jones, they are still a Super Bowl contender. Yeah. And I don't think anything's changed because he signed a 4-year, $85 million deal. I mean, if Chris Jones didn't work out and was under a franchise tag or the Chiefs traded him, I'd still tell you they're a Super Bowl contender. I mean, having Chris Jones, yes or no, to me, doesn't matter. The Chiefs are still a Super Bowl contender. Now, do they have a better chance of winning a Super Bowl with Chris Jones, a healthy Chris Jones? Yes. But let's look at the playoffs last year. The Chiefs beat, perhaps, the next best quarterback in the league. I say perhaps. Deshaun Watson, probably one of the best young quarterbacks in the league. The Chiefs are down 24-0, and they came back and beat Deshaun Watson. Chris Jones did not play in that game. They didn't need Chris Jones against the Texans. They didn't.
No.
And then the Titans, it was nice to have him back, no doubt, and he played a little bit more than anticipated. And then, to Chris Jones's credit, he played, I thought, pretty well in the Super Bowl, made some big plays and got some deflections. Mm-hmm. He can impact the game with deflections because he's big, long arms. He can get to the quarterback. Still a little bit suspect in his run defense. And so, you know, you could argue, well, they wouldn't have won the Super Bowl without Chris Jones. Well, I could argue they wouldn't have won the Super Bowl without Kendall Fuller, but they let him go. Mm-hmm. I could argue they couldn't win the Super Bowl without Bashaun Breeland, and he's still on the team. I could argue the Chiefs didn't win the Super Bowl without Steve Wisniewski, but he's gone. Those are two starters they lost, by the way. That's it, Wisniewski and Fuller. Mm-hmm. I will tell you this, that the Chiefs had never come close to sniffing a Super Bowl after Lynn Dawson until they got Patrick Mahomes. And that's the only one I'm worried about. So yeah. There's the room for error. If they didn't sign Chris Jones, I think the Chiefs still would have been right there. But I will say this. I'm okay with this deal from a couple perspectives. I'm warming up to the idea. I need to because it is a done deal, so yeah. Why whine about it? Because, you know, how many times do we talk about our favorite teams? They don't spend the money and keep their best players. I mean, see the Royals, right, for all those years?
Mm-hmm.
But the two things that make me feel a little bit better about the deal. One, it's 4 years, not 5 or 6. Two, it's not for 23, 24, 25 million. It is for basically 20. And three, he's 25. And that's the biggest one for me. He's 25. If he was 28, 29, 30, I'd be like, no, no, no. 25, at the end of this contract, he'd be 29. Mm-hmm. And that's when you're probably going to walk away, I would guess, at 29. Unless he's just unbelievable, playing on top of his level, which he probably won't be. So they've got him in the prime. He's locked up. He may be their best defensive player. I still think Tyrann Mathieu is their best defensive player and most important. They want to play a game without Chris Jones playing. I don't know if they win a playoff game without Tyrann Mathieu playing. Maybe. Don't know. And I know they don't want a playoff game without Patrick Mahomes playing. So they lock up the star on offense. They lock up the young star on defense. And the Chiefs have had quite the offseason. So what do you think of this deal? Chris Jones, 4 years, $80 million, $5 million in incentives, possibly maxing out at $85 million, 37 guaranteed, 60 guaranteed overall, 37 when he signs.
I'm, you know, kind of in the same boat you are. It's all right. It's I love Chris Jones. Like,
oh no, me too. And he deserves his money.
Same things. Okay, yeah, he does. He does deserve his money. And like I said yesterday, I think that, or Monday or whenever I said it, it's, you know, if DeForest Buckner's making as much as he is, Chris Jones deserves to make as much or more than he is, than Buckner is. And so, yeah, he deserves the money. He's earned the money. But now you're talking about, like I said on my sports cast, and we've talked about, you have three guys now that are making more than $60 million on their current contract, and the Chiefs are the only team in the NFL that has that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a lot of money being tied up in three players, like we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Patrick Mahomes, it's friendly for the next 2 years. So, he does have more than $60 million on his contract, but at the same time, the first 2 years of that are friendly, so you can make this kind of deal. You can get Chris Jones. Now, when the cap's going to maybe start being an issue is the third year of Chris Jones'
Absolutely.
Contract. Then when we get to that point, we're going to have to find out just really how good
Frank
Brett
Clark,
Leach
you might have
is.
To
yeah.
walk away from.
Yeah, and you'd be in the situation by that point to mm-hmm. do that, mm-hmm. to not take the cap
right.
hit that you would here in the first two, these next 2 years, like we talked about. It was 30-some million if you cut them right now today. That would be the cap hit. So, it does help in those regards of timing and where everything's at. But it's still a lot of money to be tied up with three different players. But, again, I don't have a problem with Chris Jones being on this defense. He's an outstanding player. When he's at the top of his game, he is one of the two best defensive tackles in the game, and I don't think people can really argue that. And when he's playing as well as he can, this is definitely going to be a benefit for the Chiefs in this short term. It's 4 years, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not like a – but we're going to find out how good Brett Veach really is with the cap here coming up in a couple of years.
I
do like Brett Veach must have some different guy that he's talking to than John Dorsey did, because he was not good with the cap.
No.
Brett Veach has just been like a wizard with the cap.
Exactly. You see what Veach has done, and by the way, he's got a cap guy. I think it's Brandon Tillis doing a great job, doesn't get enough credit.
Mm-hmm.
And you look what Dorsey couldn't do, and this is much more difficult. So
yeah.
why couldn't Dorsey?
I don't know if he just tried to do everything himself, or
I don't know.
Well,
maybe
that
might have been part of the problem. You know, to back up your statement, Chris Jones, the second best interior defender in the NFL. The stats back it up. Since 2018, he's graded out. excuse me, all choked up. He's graded out as the NFL's best interior defender, not named Aaron Donald.
Mm-hmm.
His 18.7% pass rush win rate ranks second behind Donald since 2018. So he's 25. As long as he didn't get fat on the hog on all his money, he should only get better. And I think also the key is staying healthy. He's had some nagging injuries from time to time. Now, he's only missed three games. It seems like he's missed more. He's only missed three games the last few years. But, of course, he missed the playoff game. I don't know if that's counted in that total or not. But there's no doubt when he's playing as well as he can play, that makes a big difference. And you get a rush up the middle. I mean, I've said this all along, and that's why I've been a little bit worried about the Chiefs at center being a little bit undersized with Austin Ryder, is to me the way to maybe beat the Chiefs, or at least give Mahomes problems, is you got to get pressure not on the edges, that right up the middle in his face, get right at his feet and his legs, because no quarterback likes that. And that's what Chris Jones can do.
Mm-hmm.
He can bring the pressure up the middle. And then suddenly quarterbacks make mistakes. So it's a big deal. The Chiefs have taken care of their own. And
yes.
That goes around the league. The people around the league, guys that are thinking about being a free agent, or a guy that you think about going to the Chiefs, maybe going this, and they take care of their own as long as I perform. Although after a while, they're not going to be able to do that. Charvarius Ward, I think it's going to be him and Kelsey. I mean, next guy's up for contracts, basically. Next offseason, Kelsey is going to probably want more. I believe he has 2 years left on his deal. So the Chiefs are probably going to want to work out a deal before going into his final year, unless he, falls back this year. And then Charvarius Ward, if he has another really good year, I mean, corners are, really good shutdown corners are hard to find. And Charvarius Ward, I'm not saying he's a great one, but he's pretty good.
Yeah.
He's developed and should only get better. And I think even better in this defensive system in the second year under Spags. So there's some guys that are going to want their payment, and the Chiefs aren't going to be able to return 20 to 22 starters every year after winning a Super Bowl. This is a rarity.
Definitely.
Very rare. So I'm impressed with what the Chiefs have done so far.
Basketball in the locker room anymore for
Chris Jones.
Yeah,
that would be a great idea.
Let's scrap that. Hopefully that language is in the contract.
Yeah. Myles Garrett gets a big deal, 5 years, $125 million, despite being suspended for 6 games in the last year, so he gets his big payday. And a guy that shut him down in a bowl game, Scott France, can't get a look from the NFL. Just had to throw that out there.
Hey, I'm with you on that one, 100%.
Yeah, I think there is a little bit more to that, as people can start to figure out if you understand Scott France's situation. maybe we're off base a little bit there, but I just surprised that he isn't getting a shot with the team. Well, not surprised, but he should based on his performance on the field.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes, you may have heard of him. Anyway, he is on the cover of GQ, and I have not had a chance. I was going to read this today, and I haven't had a chance before the show to read it. But this is anything that Mahomes wears, he just looks cool, doesn't he?
like how can he get away with everything?
I mean, everything he wears, he just looks cool. Like what he's wearing on the front cover of GQ and these other pictures in GQ, if you haven't seen it, dude, there's no way I'd pull it off.
I wouldn't even attempt to even look at those clothes and have them in my vicinity, let alone wear them.
People come here to work. In the jorts, remember, at the Kansas Speedway, was it last summer or whatever? Here's an interesting story in the GQ magazine. Mahomes tells a story in which he and teammate Travis Kelce, after they won the Super Bowl, they faced rapper Post Malone in several games of beer pong prior to a concert. You remember that? That night, they went to the parade was that morning or early afternoon, and then they went to the Post Malone concert that night. And Mahomes and Kelce were invited to the show and had a chance to meet up with Post Malone before it began. The group started playing beer pong, and things ultimately became quite competitive. Mahomes and Kelce began to win, so Mahomes told Clay Skipper of GQ that Malone made a wager saying he would get a tattoo of both Mahomes and Kelce's signatures if he lost. Mahomes said he has a tattoo artist literally in the room. I'm like, dude, you don't actually have to get a tattoo or autographs. And Malone had the two sign a piece of paper and would get their signatures tattooed. He ended up losing, so guess what? The rapper was a man of his word, and there he had it. He has the autographs of Kelce and Mahomes tattooed on his body. Between the Chiefs Super Bowl parade that day and the friendly games of beer pong, Mahomes must have had at least 20 beers. That certainly makes for a day that the quarterback won't ever forget. Well, if you drink 20 beers, you could forget, couldn't you?
Yeah.
But he spaced them out, I guess. And who knows? He might have drank 20, might not have. It's an estimate, not that that matters. So pretty interesting stuff. Mahomes, of course, is the face of the Chiefs. He's the face of the NFL. And now he's the face on the front cover of GQ.
Yes.
Yeah, this guy's got a lot of things not going for him.
If y'all have seen Post Malone, this story did not surprise me.
No, I don't think
he's very specific on what he gets tattooed onto his body.
No, I don't think so either. No, I wasn't surprised by that story at all. Okay, so let's get back to one thing, and then we'll move on to baseball. So Mahomes is under contract for 12 years, as we've established. So let's go ahead right now, because this is the question I've seen people throw out there a lot. And I think the next 2 years are important for the Chiefs in regards to accumulating Super Bowl championships because of what we talked about. In a couple of years, Mahomes' numbers are really going to kick in. And then you got Jones's contract, Clark's contract. Now in a couple of years, you know, here's another one. What if Matthew plays great the next 2 years? You going to give him a big deal? Because he's going to deserve it, but he's going to be older.
Yeah.
And I think they're probably not.
As good as he is and as much as he does, they probably won't be able to justify high-paid long-term type of deal
and
for him.
He's a little older, too, than the rest of them. So here you go. Super Bowl wins over the next 12 years for the Chiefs. Okay, so we're not counting the one they had last year, which is pretty awesome. First one in 50 years. Now, Bronco fans listening is like, oh, yeah, this is funny. Yeah, you guys now think you're going to win a whole bunch of Super Bowls. I feel the Chiefs are going to win more Super Bowls than the Broncos in the next 12 years. I feel really confident about that. as we had Mark Johnson on yesterday, who follows the Broncos out in Colorado, he said, yeah, the Denver Bronco fans weren't nearly as excited about Mahomes getting his big deal as the Chiefs fans. I said, yeah, you know what? What goes around comes around. You had John Elway, and then they had Peyton Manning. And the Chiefs always had, a 49er quarterback that the Niners didn't want. Steve DeBerg, Steve Bono, Elvis Gerback, Alex Smith. Now we finally found our franchise quarterback. So over the next 12 years, assuming Mahomes is healthy and plays the next 12 years, and that's a big assumption. I mean, I sit here and I see all these things happening with Mahomes. I'm like, man, he's got the world by the tail. And it's crossed my mind, like, please don't be one of those tragic 30 for 30 stories where, be a Bo Jackson where your career's cut short. I just hope that doesn't happen because he's got everything going for him. I hope he's not a 3 or 4 year flash in the pan and then the injuries or something crazy bad happens to him. I hope not. But assuming he stays healthy for the next 12 years, I mean, he might be banged up, miss a few games here and there, whatever. Maybe
he might go into the side of his leg or something.
Could be, yeah. Or maybe he misses one of these 12 seasons, so be it. You still have 11 chances then. Out of the next 12 years, how many Super Bowl wins do you think the Chiefs have?
I will say this. I want to go to Vegas and put a bet down on the 1.5 that it is right now.
It's 1.5?
It's 1.5. Is the,
over the next over the rest of his career?
Over the rest of his contract here.
I would take over.
Oh, I want to 100% go to Vegas and put the over on 1.5.
Well, you just got to know people, Dusty.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would put it over, too. So, obviously, we're saying 2 or more.
Yes. Okay. I hesitate to go anything past 3. It's so tough to win. Look at the quarterback. I mean, Tom Brady is the only quarterback that you can look at and say he won more than what people are doing and what they should have.
And if you go look at those Super Bowls, very easily could have lost every one of them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not like they went out and blew teams out.
Yeah.
They weren't dominant.
Yeah. And there's two more he could have won against the Giants. Big plays down the stretch in the end of the game, and they don't win those.
And let's think about this. Joe Montana was 4-0 in the Super Bowl. You know, Michael Jordan was 6-0 in NBA Finals. But odds are you're not going to be perfect in the Super Bowl. Tom Brady wasn't. Mahomes, we have to sit here. We're talking about Super Bowl championships.
Yeah.
Now we can do Super Bowl appearances. Odds are he's going to lose at least one if he gets there again. So we got to factor that in, too. So I tell you what, let's do this. You give me what you think Super Bowl wins over the next 12 years. This is on top of the one they already have. So over the next 12 years, how many Super Bowl championships with Mahomes at quarterback do you think the Chiefs will have?
Just because it's so tough, I think they're going to win 2 more.
Two more?
I want to say more than that, but...
So you're 2 more for a total of 3. So 2 more. So Dusty says 2 more. And how many Super Bowl appearances?
I'll say they'll get there 4 more times.
4 more? They're going to go 2-2 in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to say 4
I'm being conservative, obviously, in those numbers.
So 1 out of every 3 years over the next 12 years, once out of every 3 years, so a third of the next 12 years, the Chiefs will be in the Super Bowl.
At least make it, yeah.
That's what you're saying. All right. I'm going to go with 3 more Super Bowl championships. And I'm going to agree with you that there'll be 4 Super Bowl appearances. I agree that they'll go 3-1. They'll lose one.
Yeah.
They'll lose one. So if that's the case, they would have 4 Super Bowls in my version.
Yeah.
And 5 Super Bowl appearances counting last year. So they'd be 4-1.
Yeah.
And that's over the course of 13 years if you count this past year. So, you know, and here's the reason. And I really feel weird about making this prediction because there's a part of me that wants to say more. Because 100%. I think Mahomes is just so unique. I just think that if you want to be realistic, you got to know that the cap's going to hurt eventually. You're going to have not as much depth on the team, or you won't have maybe as many weapons. He's going to slow down a little bit at some point if he has an injury or if he's just getting a little older. His arm strength might not be quite as good, obviously, at 32 as it is at 24, because he will be in his mid-30s when his contract rounds out. I also look at the rest of the league, and I sit here and go, what's that great quarterback after Mahomes? I'm not sold on Lamar Jackson. Sorry, I don't think he's going to have a long career. I think he's going to last 5 more years at the most. Takes too many hits and runs too much. I'm not sold on Deshaun Watson. I like Deshaun Watson. I do. I'm not sold he's going to win it in Houston. Brady's going to be gone. He's done in here in a year or two, probably. I mean, what other young quarterback? Baker Mayfield, certainly not sold on him right now. I was more optimistic about him before last year. Now I'm not so much. Sam Darnold and the Jets, he has all the tools. I just not sold on that. You know, so you go through and you're like, well, who's the is Joe Burrow going
to
be the biggest competitor?
See what Joe Burrow can
I mean,
do
Joe
like,
Burrow no, might be know. That guy. You know, the guy I would think at down the line might be Trevor Lawrence. And it could be a guy 6 years from now that we don't even know that's in high school right now. It's going to be the biggest problem for Mahomes and the Chiefs that – you know, the Chargers draft or maybe it's Justin Herbert. Maybe he's going to be a great quarterback. Yeah. You don't even know it. It may happen sometimes. Guys, you underestimate and they end up being great. Russell Wilson's young. Well, he's around 30 now. Aaron Rodgers is obviously at the end of his career.
See,
what great quarterbacks are still out there? Dak Prescott's, I don't think he's on the level of Mahomes, but he's a good, solid quarterback. You look through the NFL landscape, Josh Allen in Buffalo, young quarterback, don't think so. I just can't come up with anybody that's going to challenge other than Lamar Jackson in the short term and maybe Deshaun Watson, maybe Sam Darnold. Can you give me anybody else? Drew Brees is going to be gone. I'll be that.
The problem with Deshaun Watson is his coach keeps handicapping his offense.
That,
if they keep doing that, that's not
going to
be good. You know, and so, You know, it takes more. Listen, we talk about how good Patrick Mahomes is and everything that he does, but it takes people around you mm-hmm. to be able to do that. We're not naive enough to think that this Patrick Mahomes just goes out there and does this on his own. I mean, you know, you got the Kelseys and the Hills and all these people that are helping on offense. And like you said, you've got an offensive line and two really good tackles that are helping out. One really, really good tackle, Mitchell Schwartz, who can always gets underestimated.
Which in a couple of years you're going to have to replace
and you'll,
him.
You'll and you'll restructure some of those things, yeah, for sure. And that just comes with the territory. But what I'm saying is, like, you can talk about all these quarterbacks all you want, and you can see that they have potential and they have some things that other guys don't have, but you still have to have other things around you. And I think that's the biggest problem for Deshaun Watson right now in Houston coming into this year is what's he got around him.
Well, he got rid of their best weapon.
Exactly. I mean, he just get rid of DeAndre Hopkins and just act like everything's going to be all right. And for what they got him for, it's like, I don't know. But again, you do, no matter who it is, where it is, what it is, you have to have people around him. And that's how the Chiefs won a Super Bowl. They fixed their defense and felt like they had what they needed offensively. And
the other wild card of this that you have no way of knowing is what kind of hunger this team's going to have this year. I mean, they're going to be complacent because they finally got to the mountaintop, because once you're there, it's harder to stay there than it is to get there many times. And the Patriots, that's why you have to be impressed by what they've done. You know, 49ers in their day, the Cowboys, the Steelers, and all them. So can the Chiefs put together this dynasty? And let's say they win again this year. Now, are they going to be complacent and slip their third year when they probably should win it again?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, and in injuries, of course, is the greatest wild card of them all. I mean, if you lose Mitchell Schwartz and Eric Fisher, now Mahomes isn't going to have as much time to throw. Yeah. We saw what happened last year when Cam Irving was left tackle.
Oh, yeah.
Mahomes struggled and got banged up. So, and that's what some people worried about, is that the Chiefs won't have the money down the line to pay for the guys to protect him up front, which may or may not be true. You look at you go through and you tell me, I'm going to go through these guys, you tell me who you're worried about to stand in the way of the Chiefs. Jimmy Garoppolo?
No.
Russell Wilson?
No.
I mean, if Seattle gets a team that, the Super Bowl, maybe.
Everything around them, yeah.
Right. Jared Goff?
No.
Kyler Murray?
Not yet. Nope. I haven't seen enough yet.
Aaron Rodgers?
Nah.
Only for a year or two at the most. Kirk Cousins? I say no.
He probably would have proven it by now, I think.
Nick Foles or Mitch Trubisky with the Bears?
No.
Matthew Stafford, he's on no. Carson Wentz?
No.
I say no.
It's like
Dak Prescott? You know, a few years ago, Carson Wentz, you would have said yes.
Yeah, he's just
Dak Prescott.
He doesn't really concern me.
He doesn't concern me either. He doesn't concern me either.
He's good. Yeah, I get it, but
I think on paper the Cowboys, their offense can be almost as explosive as the Chiefs, and their defense might be better. But the Cowboys just don't get it done when they
for some reason they just don't put it together.
No, they
don't. They've had so many good teams,
but they at least have a new coach.
Fields should be good.
Maybe Mike McCarthy will figure it out, even though he's not good at managing the clock and timeout management. The Giants have Daniel Jones. I mean, he might end up being a star, but probably no.
Yeah,
Dwayne Haskins, Redskins. I don't even think they're sold on him. Drew Brees, he'll be done in a few years, maybe this year, after this year. Matt Ryan, he's, 29 or 30 now? I'd say no. Tom Brady, no. He only got a few years left. The Panthers, Teddy Bridgewater, no. AFC, Lamar Jackson, yes. Short term.
Yeah.
Steelers, I don't even know who the heck's going to be their quarterback out of Roethlisberger. So no there. Maker Mayfield, I think you have to say no right now.
He's just too inconsistent for me.
I agree. Joe Burrow, Bengals, to be determined.
Yeah.
Drew Locke. I mean, I think Drew Locke could be a decent quarterback for the Broncos, but I don't know if I'm overly worried about him.
He's not
I don't think he's a franchise
type of guy that I'm going to be really worried about.
Derek Carr with the Raiders.
Absolutely
no. The Chargers with Tyrod Taylor, Justin Herbert. No.
No right now, yeah.
Cam Newton with the Patriots.
No.
No. Maybe for the first year or two, maybe, if he comes back. Josh Allen with the Bills.
No.
Sam Darnold with the Jets. I'd say maybe.
Yeah, he's... Maybe. You get mono, you just don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't know where he's
tools.
At. Yeah.
He's got the tools. Tua, the rookie with the Dolphins.
Tua,
I'm not sold on him at the NFL level.
No. I don't see that.
Deshaun Watson, I think we've said kind of no. I mean, we're concerned, maybe, but
yeah,
you know,
like
the
if
people
he
around
gets,
him.
I really feel like if he gets a team like
oh,
the
I
Chiefs,
agree with you. I agree.
He'd be very dangerous.
Oh,
that
I
team
agree.
Would be super dangerous.
I agree with you. Ryan Tannehill?
No.
No.
You talk about Baker Mayfield inconsistent. That guy got paid off of one season.
Yeah, he did.
And it's like, and holy
eight
smokes,
passes
what
in
are we doing
game.
Here? We're giving this guy this much money because of 1 year? Like, that's how it goes, I guess.
Phillip Rivers?
No.
And Garrett Minshew with the Jaguars.
No.
So based on the landscape of football right now, unless these new rookies, Joe Burrow and Tua, do something, or rookies that we aren't really paying attention to, come into the league and tear it up, for the next few years, it should be the Chiefs' league.
Yeah.
And the biggest competitor looks to be in the AFC, it looks to be Baltimore, and odds are it'll be somebody else that you just don't quite see coming. And the NFC, your biggest competitor, I'm not really scared about any. That's the 49ers, but the odds of them repeating what they did last year are very unlikely.
Yeah.
I think the Chiefs are much more likely because of who their quarterback is and how young they are. But, I mean, the Niners could be a threat yet. But I just don't see – I just don't sit here and go, wow, that's going to be the major – after the Ravens, I just don't see any team the Chiefs should be really, really worried about.
Maybe call me
too optimistic, call me a homer, but I just objectively can't sit here and look at all those teams with those quarterbacks and say, wow, that team's going to be a tough matchup for the Chiefs. I mean, to me, the worst enemy for the Chiefs, their biggest opponent's going to be themselves.
Yeah, and when I say what I'm about to say, don't misconstrue it saying that this team's as good as the team I'm going to bring up, but mm-hmm. it's like what we talk about, you know, when the Bulls, when they had Jordan in the, you know, the early 90s, their first three-peat and their second three-peat, it's like everybody wants to talk about, well, Jordan never beat a super team or anything like that, because he was the super team.
Exactly.
Okay, so we're going through a lot of people here. Like, I'm not worried about this team. All those teams are worried about Patrick Mahomes.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's the thing is, like, when that person's on the team we're talking about here,
right.
It's hard to say, hey, no, I'm not confident in this team. You know, you're very confident because
you
have
the dynasty.
Best.
Well, they are the dynasty,
yeah,
or could be the
yeah,
dynasty.
Yeah, it's like you are the best. You have the best right,
right.
now. If you play, you know, 100%, each team's playing at their best no matter what, going into every game,
mm-hmm.
the Chiefs have the biggest advantage.
I agree.
And so you can't – I mean, there's a lot of people that are scared because Tom Brady's going to Tampa Bay and Gronk's coming. Well, you got two good receivers. I get it. But what do you have everywhere else?
Right.
And Tom Brady's not Tom Brady from 10 years ago, even 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And so you just kind of think about some of those things, and it's like if – that's what I'm saying with Deshaun Watson. If you get the right team and players around him, I'm scared of him. I'm scared of that team, but Bill O'Brien's not doing that team any favors right now. So it is. It's like you're talking about the team that is it and has the player. And so it's hard for me or anybody else, I would think, around the league to say, oh, yeah, this team – should scare the Chiefs.
Think about what the Chiefs have. They have the best quarterback in the league at the age of 24.
Yes.
They have perhaps the best tight end in the league, him or Kittle probably.
Yeah.
Those
are the two in the discussion.
And he's signed for the next couple of years. They have the fastest receiver in the league, the biggest playmaker with big yardage plays in Tyreek Hill. They have, I think, one of the best right tackles in the league without question in Mitchell Schwartz. They have perhaps the best safety in the league in Tyrann Mathieu. They have the second best, as the stats prove out, the second best interior defensive lineman in the NFL. And they have one of the best pass rushers in the NFL in Frank Clark. And, they have this guy named Andy Reid that's pretty smart, too.
Yeah.
And they got Eric Bieniemy, who's one of the best assistant coaches. I mean, they got maybe I'll tell you what, after what he's done so far in this offseason, he might be the best GM in the league, in Brett Veach. Maybe. Maybe not. You know, if it all crumbles and guys get hurt next year, everybody's going to say Brett Veach was a moron because he gave all that money away. But, I mean, right now, you got to sit here and go, it's not just Patrick Mahomes. That's the thing that people I don't think understand. The lay NFL football fan, the average football fan, be like, oh, yeah, Mahomes. If Mahomes gets hurt, you're toast. Well, winning a Super Bowl, probably. But the Chiefs still can be a very good football team.
Yeah.
If Mahomes is out for a few games, all we have to do is look at what Matt Moore did last year. You adjust things. And this defense, here's the other thing we haven't talked much about. This defense should be even better next year because it's a second year in the system. And we saw how much better they were the last 5-6 weeks of the year compared to early when we were freaking out about it.
Mm-hmm.
It took some time. It's going to be so much better this season, I think, just because you're going to know where you're supposed to be, the schemes. And on top of that, you've got 10 of your 11 defensive starters back, so you should have camaraderie, chemistry, terminology, communication, and then you can add more wrinkles, and that's what Andy Reid's going to do this year. And on top of all that, you just brought in maybe the best running back in the draft into the fray in Helaire from LSU. So there is no reason to think the Chiefs can't win the Super Bowl this upcoming year. And remember, last year they won it, and Mahomes missed time, missed games, was banged up, and half the others.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyreek Hill missed some time. I mean, the Chiefs had injuries last year, and they still found a way to win the Super Bowl. Maybe we're underestimating and too low on this. Maybe instead of saying four more Super Bowl appearances that we both say, and three championships, you say two, maybe we should be sitting here saying five or six.
Yeah.
On top of one. And Mahomes just said the other day, which I love his confidence, and that's what you want him to say, by the way. It's not cockiness. It's a goal. He says he wants to match Brady's six rings. Now, what happens if Brady would get another one? And I don't think he's going to.
No.
But six rings, that means you need five more. Five more, odds are, have to come in the next 12 years, which means basically every other year you have to win a Super Bowl. Now, that seems somewhat unrealistic. But had you said Tom Brady, when he stepped in for Drew Bledsoe, when Bledsoe got hurt,
yeah,
you would have told somebody, hey, a six-round draft pick is going to win six Super Bowls and go to nine. He'd be like, yeah, right. That's not realistic.
No.
So why should we put a cap or a ceiling on this stuff? All this stuff, it's not realistic for Patrick Mahomes to come in and throw 50 touchdowns and throw for 5,000 yards his first year as a starter. It's not realistic for him to go all the way to the AFC title game. If not for a coin flip in overtime, he might have been in the Super Bowl his first year as a starter. It's not realistic for a guy in the second year in the league to win the Super Bowl MVP and win the Super Bowl at the age of 24. See, all those things are not realistic. But that's the thing that Mahomes and the Chiefs have been doing ever since Mahomes got in Kansas City, defying those odds or those weird statistics. Well, no team has done this. Yeah, no team has come back from double-digit deficits or down 24-0 in a home playoff game. Yeah, check mark, check mark, check mark, check mark. The Chiefs just keep doing that. And that's because of 15. And granted, he's got talent around him, no question. So perhaps this is where people say, well, realistically, the Chiefs are going to make two, three, four more Super Bowls. Maybe we're all capping that ceiling way too low. Maybe we should be talking about they're going to go to one every 2 years minimum, and that would be six, and win four or five. Or maybe he's just going to be the greatest quarterback of all time, and he's going to be 7-0 in the Super Bowl and have more than Brady and never lose one, which after what we saw last year in the Super Bowl, he didn't play very well for three quarters.
No.
But when he had to make the plays down the stretch, he did. That was not a great game for Patrick Mahomes.
No.
Imagine what Mahomes does the next time in the Super Bowl. I'm going to say he's going to be a little more relaxed, a little more experienced. And here's the scary part for the league. If he stays healthy, you know he's going to study even more film, and he's going to get more comfortable. And the more stuff he sees and the more that people throw at him, eventually he's going to be just like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Nothing's really going to faze him. Yeah, seen it, done it, been there, no big deal. The only thing that fazes any quarterback is somebody in your grill, and that's called pressure. Pass rush, get to the quarterback. And the Chiefs do a really good job, and Mahomes did a better job last year checking down. I hate checking down, but if the defense is going to give you 10 yards underneath, you take them, and then eventually they got to come up in press coverage, and then you beat them over the top with Tyreek Hill or whoever else. Mahomes is smart enough to understand that. He learned how to do that last year, and then he can take his shots. And so if it's quick, get the ball out of his hands, then guess what? Pass rush isn't as important because it can never get there because the ball's out of his hands. And we Elair in the equation, I think you're going to see even more of that.
Yeah.
Now, I hope they still take their shots downfield, but if they got, you know, too deep coverage and they're playing everything underneath, take it.
Oh, for sure.
You take it.
Yeah.
You take it. Remember when Mahomes was drafted? He's a turnover machine, which if you go in college and look at the numbers, he wasn't. That's what's funny. People didn't do their own research. He's going to turn the ball over too much in the league. He's going to have 25 interceptions. He's Brett Favre. And it's still insulting. I mean, I said this from the very beginning. It's insulting to me. I mean, Brett Favre is an unbelievable. He was a great quarterback. Don't get me wrong. He won one Super Bowl. Mahomes already matched that. To me, it's insulting to even put Mahomes.
Wild stallion out there.
He's a wild stallion.
He didn't care what he did.
Right. Like Mahomes is not a wild stallion.
Mahomes has it up here.
Sure.
You know, he's got the mind to be able to make sure that he's not making.
He already studies more film than Favre did at his age. I know that.
You know, Favre had so much natural ability and you know, just he had a no-fear attitude. There's no question about
which
that.
Which helped and hurt.
And it helped and hurt, exactly. It's, you know, he's the leading touchdown passer and leading interception guy when he quit, you know, when he retired.
Mahomes has that in him, but he's more controlled. And he's more controlled even at an age of 24 than Favre was any time in his career.
Yes.
Even at the age of 37, Favre was throwing those dumb passes.
Oh, they never left him.
No,
but
didn't.
Listen, that's who he is. Right. And like, I'm going to sit here and say that he did it all the wrong way because he won a lot of games. He won a Super Bowl. And his coaches were frustrated with him a lot, especially early when he was making some of those moves. But, he did it his way. But, Patrick Mahomes, I've never compared him. Maybe some of the throws that he makes.
Yes.
But
overall,
the throws that he makes are more in tune with what he wants to do and how you succeed. Brett Favre could probably make some of the throws that Patrick Mahomes did, but and vice versa, but it's not the same way. They don't do it.
No.
At all the same way.
Not at all. All right, one baseball note before we let you go. We talk about the players opting out, but you know what's also important in baseball? Umpires. A total of 11 umpires have opted out of the 2020 Major League Baseball season. Some umpires opting out, as they said, to have family members who are ill. And Major League Baseball, they have 91 Major League Baseball umpires, which means that 12%, 11 of the 91, have opted out. And Major League Baseball plans to have 19 full umpiring crews this season, which means a total of 76. That means you only got four extras. So that could be interesting.
Yeah.
So there's a little another nugget that we have not discussed in regards to people opting out. We talk about officials and
umpires don't have a taxi squad.
No. We've talked about coaches and bench coaches and this and that. By the way, Rusty Kuntz of the Royals is not going to do what he was going to do because of COVID-19. He won't be on the field at first base because of all that. And now you got a few umpires that have opted out, and maybe there'll be more. And if that's the case, that caused a bit of a problem as well. So it's amazing all the things that are associated in the trickle-down effect with COVID-19. All right, so Chris Jones locked in. Who the Chiefs going to give a lot of money to tomorrow? We shall find out, I guess. I don't think they have any more. Well, they got $8 million in cap space, I guess. Rainfall totals, in case you missed those, an inch, Chuck at the bottom of the hill in Glen Elder, inch 90 Simpson, 2.5 Tipton, Sean said that. Stanley said 2.25 Tipton, 4.25. Corey had to the east of Beloit, Katie in Beloit, 2.5. Brian Schmitz, east third in Beloit, 3.87. So in Beloit, there's about an inch and a half difference from one side of town to the other. Ron says 3.1 inches, southeast edge of Beloit. Francis, 2.5 inches in Glen Elder. Linda says 50 hundredths, didn't say where she's from, but I would guess that's Downs. Cocker, Todd said 80 hundredths. Rural Mankato, 2.5 inches from Elisa. 3 inches reported by Brock and Randall. Marcia says 2 inches, 6 miles west of Beloit on Highway 24. And Francis says 6 miles west of Beloit, inch 35, and it was still raining when he reported that. So a wide amount of rainfall totals. And certainly Beloit got more than it looks like than some of the others. Simpson at inch 90, as I said, Tipton 2.5. So looks like Tipton and Beloit got the most rain in our area based on the reports we have received. Enjoy the rest of your day, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the Sports Ticket.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.